Welcome back to the South Florida Roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. Miami-Dade County is continuing with repairs here on this Friday on a broken sewer pipe in Olita River. A small crack in that pipe led to more than 1 million gallons of raw sewage spilling into the neighboring water. Affected areas included Sunny Isles Beach, Golden Beach, and parts of North Miami Beach. The county asked customers in those areas to reduce their water usage. Now, the city of Fort Lauderdale faced its own pipe problem just a few weeks ago. A main pipe carrying drinking water, in that case, broke, leading to a water boil order for thousands of people for several days. So, the region's plumbing is up next here on the South Florida Roundup. Were you affected by this week's sewage spill in Dade County? Still being affected, for instance, maybe toning down on your laundry or your dishwashing, for instance? Or have you canceled plans to go swimming in this area or for a kayak ride in Olita State Park? 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. You can also send us a text at 786-786-7636. WLRN's environmental reporter Jenny Stiletovich is still with us here on the South Florida Roundup, and Kevin Linsky is now with us, director of Miami-Dade's Water and Sewer Department. Kevin, welcome to the Roundup. Thanks for your time today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Give us an update on what's going on with this 48-inch pipe that sprung a leak, essentially, under the water at Olita River.
Yes, it has. So it's a 48-inch main. That's a very big main. It's a force main carrying sewage. On a typical non-rainy day, it carries about 10 million gallons of sewage. On a rainy one, it might be 15 or more. So this,
why the difference? Is it stormwater sewage, or is it leakage in the system?
It's
that
leakage
gets into
the system.
Okay.
And it's a vast amount of numbers that help to understand what happens there. So this leak, the size of the leak is kind of surprisingly small. It's about 2 by 2.5 inches. That's the size of the hole in the pipe. This particular pipe was put into service in the 60s. It was scheduled to be replaced, designed this year, and replaced the following year. So it is closing in on life expectancy.
What's it made out of?
Iron. And there's been some debate on what type of iron and how long it should be in there. But it kind of surprised us because on either side of the pipe, it's concrete. And we would have expected someone in 1960s to prefer the concrete.
Yeah.
They chose iron.
And did it break at a seam, for instance? Or
no.
Was this in the middle of the iron pipe?
It appears to be corrosion. We did not know that till we went down and inspected it Tuesday night.
And how often are these pipes inspected? When was the last time this pipe was inspected?
Okay, so our system is made up of a lot of things, but we have about 3,000 miles of gravity pipe. And by law, we inspect 1/10 of that system every year, unless it's in a protected zone for water purposes, as we do it every 5 years. The force main.
Is this one of those?
No. It is. Well, that protected zone is where our drinking water is.
Okay, understood.
So that's that. For force mains, they are much harder to inspect because there is not equipment that you can put into a force main because it's active and bubbling. So we tend to address those in probably not the best way possible. We look at life expectancy and performance to see if there are similar breaks nearby.
Performance being measured by the flow?
No, to see if there are any other leaks within the system. In this case, we got to inspect the pipe or dealt with the pipe in 1996, which is when FDOT was doing some work on the bridge and damaged the pipe.
So what's the outlook then for this repair here? The pipe is still in the ground, right? I mean, the leak is still ongoing
as we're
speaking.
It's still in
the
ground.
Friday.
And I got to tell you, it is the most daunting thing in my 18 months of being at the department. So we had a briefing this morning. There's a hole in the pipe. The pipe itself is rather brittle there. An attempt was made to temporarily patch that. It is so brittle that you really can't apply much force. So we backed away from that. The hole expanded by over 50% just in that attempt.
So the hole is now bigger.
The hole's a little bigger. It started about 1.5 to 2 inches. Now it's 2.5 to 3 inches. And there's more material coming out of it. So we're trying to use non-invasive ways now to address that. But in the meantime, in 1996, a very important piece of infrastructure was put in place to be able to shut off this pipe in case there was a problem. Last night, we made our first attempt to use that piece of infrastructure, and we can make about one attempt every 24 hours because we have to stop the pumps that feed into this area. It was not done successfully. That piece of infrastructure that's 25 years old is showing some signs of wear itself. So in caution, we retreated last night. We're going to go again tonight, and we're trying to open up the window closer to 3 hours, but there's no true prediction as to whether that intervention will work.
And so basically you would reroute this flow. So you this when you talk about this 25-year-old piece of infrastructure, you'd be able to just reroute the flow to another pipe?
Right. That allows us to stop flow and reroute flow. So if you were up in that area now and looked across the bridge, we've actually put in place our contractor a pipe exactly for that intention. So we're still working on that. The hope was 72 hours. 72 hours came and went fundamentally yesterday.
Yeah.
So I was surprised when I learned that this pipe was a half century old, and I wondered how many other miles of pipe are that old, and what's the plan for dealing with those? I know there's a consent decree, but...
Right. So the consent decree has a really high focus on the plants themselves and less of a focus on which pipes have to be dealt with. It does make us deal with them in a more progressive fashion. The way it's been done traditionally, and the department, I think everyone knows, has been underfunded for quite some period of time, is they looked at whether there were leaks in pipes. And at that time, you get to examine the pipe, and then it's put on a criticality list. So we have a very kind of interesting desktop matrix of all the pipes by age, how long they should last, how large they are, and what the consequence is of failure. And we're trying to address them in that fashion. The challenge is, and I told my wife when I took this job, this is a game of statistics. We have enough pipe as Miami-Dade County underground to get to from Florida to China and back. So it's really, as opposed to any one particular pipe, those are very important ones, it becomes a matter of money and statistics.
The consent decree essentially is a federal court order that has mandated Miami-Dade County make, I think, a little bit over $1.5 billion worth of repairs to the sewer system by
2026 or so. 26. Almost all the work that's required of that will have been done.
Yeah. According to your latest report, Jenny, I think it's about $400 million worth of projects that are...
nearing completion, like $437 million, but you've got...
Yeah, we've completed just under $500 million. There's $1 billion in construction right now. I've got a massive amount of contracts, I think, all told.
But as you said, the focus has been on the water treatment plants.
Yes, absolutely.
Where the sewage goes to after it's piped in. And then obviously where it goes out of those plants, which we need to talk about too. But this is a system here in the Olita River pipe burst or leak is on the way to that treatment center.
Absolutely. And this is one of the scary things about when these events occurs, what people jump to conclusions for. Yeah. Let me just talk a little bit about the stream. The most dangerous stuff in the stream is the untreated portion, and that's the pipes. The most dangerous part of that system are the force mains.
And just to be clear, that's from your house to the water treatment. Not your particular, but
yeah,
it's from
typically,
the house. From the, right.
Actually, kind of, sort of. It's not from your house to a pump station. After it hits a pump station and then is being pushed under force, that's a very dangerous part of the
under
system.
Under force, under pressure.
Under pressure.
Okay.
Under pressure, these pump stations. We're spending a lot of time, and we should fix all parts of the system, focusing on the parts, for instance, where there's already treated material. We have an ocean outfall program to take the nutrient flow that goes into the ocean and put it underneath our feet. We're spending $2 billion on that. But that is one-tenth of the material in the system after it's been treated, and we're spending the majority of our money on unfortunately, is the safest material.
And you have to, because you're under a different regulation. That
under
means
the state. Yeah.
Under the state regulation that is saying, Jenny, that the county can no longer push out the...
Right, by 2025 you have
the treated water out into the
That's
ocean.
Correct.
You've got to put it somewhere else. And
right.
Most, I shouldn't say, but in the central part of Dade County, a lot of that treated water goes off of Virginia Key, and then there's a chunk in South Dade County that also goes out.
So it's North Dade and Central.
North Dade and Central.
Yeah, and it goes out about 3 miles, and the engineers place the pipe so that it hits the
Gulf Stream.
The Gulf Stream.
That's what they
hopefully
hope to do, yeah. But we've seen troubles with those pipes as well, leaking earlier in this chain.
We've seen one trouble, but I do want to put it in perspective. This is a gravity flow pipe, almost always operating. So that leak, almost all the water would be coming in, not going out. And it is highly treated. It's bombed with chlorine at that part. If I know people won't believe this. I took that whole pipe and I aimed it at Miami Beach and I ran it for a day and the state came in and tested. They would say you could swim.
I have a question about the leaks and how you detect them, because it seems like we come across this outfall pipe had a leak that was ongoing, and I think a diver discovered that. This leak here was discovered by a kayaker.
Right.
How do you find the leaks? The grand jury report said you have over 6,000 miles, well, but here to China.
I was counting in the watch
how
waiter.
In the world do you find those?
So there's a whole bunch of methods. Again, it's statistics. Part of it is we send a camera through the entire system that's gravity-fed. once every 10 years or once every 5 years, depending on where it is. We also can measure the amount of water that's getting to a pump station, do a calculation on the people served, and understand, whoa, there's got to be more coming in mm-hmm. than the people are producing. Yeah. So we use these methods along the way to try to tamp back the leaks into the system. The ones that are force main are more difficult, but typically, unfortunately, they kind of discover themselves, because by the time they get to a size of not much bigger than a golf ball, these pipes are generally within 5 or 6 feet, typically, of the earth. You start getting some unfortunate things up top.
How often do we have these leaks?
100 times a year of 1,000 gallons of more. So one of the interesting things is if we have all these years that are average years where we spill about 2.5 million gallons of wastewater a year from 100 different events. What's interesting is that it's 1 gallon per person out of the 42,000 gallons per person we handle. Mm-hmm. So a typical year, we're not doing bad. It's the large events that become bad. And this is on the order of 1 million gallons already.
The Alita River.
Yeah, we went over a million last night.
Went over a million last night. Now considered a major spill?
In my tenure, yeah, it's a major spill. It doesn't compare to these much larger events, but we're still in a risk zone. I am not comfortable. I'm not sleeping well.
So. Can we remind people, too, why it matters when the stuff gets into the groundwater and that groundwater is flowing out into the bay? Again, everything comes back to the bay.
To the bay.
Right.
Yeah.
So this particular material actually isn't even going to the groundwater. This is going into the water itself. I mean, mm-hmm. this pipe is now
It's exposed. In the canal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's there. We have
It's in the river. It's in the intercoastal.
I'm sorry, river, not the canal.
Coastal. Right,
yeah.
Right.
So DERM is testing 9 separate areas, and yes, you can find that there is this materials in that water. The beaches, shockingly, actually, if we didn't have a precautionary swimming advisory, you could swim. It's safe. I mean, I don't want to say it that way. The state is testing, and it's not over limits. But we still have the advisory.
There's no swimming ban. I was looking at the Florida Health Department. It's not a. There's an advisory.
Okay.
From what I've seen here.
Right.
So, Kevin, what's the timeline here? You mentioned that the leak in the Alita River with the sewer pipe has gotten larger even as you tried to plug it. You've had difficulty using some of the infrastructure and some of the workarounds right. here. So what's the outlook for us? What's the best case now?
Best case is we're going to do very limited attempts on the place where the break is because the fragility of that material. There's the interceptor where we're going to reroute. Best case is on one of these windows in the next 2-3 days, we have success. Best case would be 3 a.m. tonight. Worst case is not so great, where it could be 3 weeks. 3 weeks because if that piece of infrastructure cannot be used, we're going to have to recreate the entire piece of infrastructure.
So you're saying the leak could last 3 weeks?
If worst case, the leak could last 3 weeks.
And we are on day 5 or
yeah,
six, and
Sunday
we're a
night.
Million gallons already.
Right.
Kevin Linsky is the Miami-Dade County Water and Sewer Director. Kevin, thanks for joining us here on the Roundup.
Right.
We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Jenny Siletovich covering the environment for us here at WLRN. Always great to have you share your reporting with us. Thanks, Jenny. That'll do it for the Roundup here this week. It is produced by Alexander Gonzalez, and our engagement producer is Katie Lepre. The program is made possible by Willie the Bee Man, Bee Removal Specialist.